like for you to read with me in the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. And we will read 1 to 10 inclusive. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him, that is, Jesus, joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to thy house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. It's a most remarkable thing with this Gospel of Luke to me here of late. Every Tuesday night at 7:30, my wife goes to a Bible class down at Ocean Breeze Park and at somebody's house. And I have a Bible class in my house. Sometimes there's two, one beside me, and sometimes there's three. I've had as high as five. But what we're doing is going through the Gospel of Luke. Then I came up to Waynesboro last Lord's Day. In fact, I was there on the Wednesday night before. And they said, we're studying the Gospel of Luke here every Lord's Day morning, and would you mind taking the fifth of Luke? And then every Thursday morning at 9:30, we go to the Conglomerum down here, and I speak there every other Thursday, and we're going through the Gospel of Luke. And our brother Charles asked me this morning what portion he should read, and I said, Oh, Charles, you make choice of that. I want to speak a little on the salvation. And, he said, I have nothing gathered for it yet. Well, I said, you read the last 8 verses of the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke. So if the beloved physician, Dr. Luke, over-medicates you while I am here, this summer, and gives you too many pellets or pills, gossip pills, blame it all on the beloved physician, will you please? Well, most remarkable thing in Luke's Gospel, his ministry seemed to be taken up with what Jesus began to do and to teach. And we read very clearly in the Gospel of Luke and the Book of the Acts that he had information, and it was information that he not only gathered from people, but I think the word there carries the thought that he was one of the holy men that spake of God as the Spirit gave him utterance. And the dear beloved physician also wrote more of the Bible than anybody else. If you count his verses, you'll find that even though you would give the Apostle Paul credit for reading Hebrews, still Luke beats him. He writes more than the Apostle Paul, and also of John. So you see that Luke has, I think, quite a bit of ministry, and it's rather thorough as to what Jesus began to do and to teach down here. And then when he went up into the glory, when the exceeding greatness of God's power was released and Jesus passed through the heavens and set him down at the highest station of heaven, and the Holy Spirit was sent down to glorify Christ and to show us things to come, it is Luke that is giving us this. What the Lord Jesus did here, began to do and to teach in his gospel, and what he is doing up there in the glory, and the Holy Spirit ministering and glorifying Christ. So, you see, he has a rather thorough ministry. And when we study the Gospel of Luke, we will see that very clearly, there may be more, but there are five outstanding rich men in the Gospel of Luke. And we are so apt to think, maybe because we aren't so rich, that a rich man is more sinful than a poor man. I know there are some great warnings in the Scriptures. It would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And that is a pretty big warning for a rich man. And of course, everybody got really stirred up about the Lord Jesus saying words like these, and they said, well, then who can go to heaven? Who can go? Well, he said, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And I think that we can clearly see at least one out of the five rich men that are in the Gospel of Luke found his way into something that was more valuable than gold. He got into the good and gain of God's salvation. And whether you are rich or poor this morning, it would be a good question for you to ask yourselves. And it's good to talk to a decent and respectable person once in a while, and to ask yourself if you have something that is more precious than gold. I couldn't help it this morning. I was looking for Zacchaeus in the hymn book, and I couldn't find a Z nohow. But at last, I thought, something more than gold. And that's the subject. And I don't know of anybody that could give you a better exposition of these 10 verses than the writer of this hymn. And I looked for his name, who wrote it, and it's A-N-O-N. Does that mean none or nobody? Or somebody that we don't know? And even the one who set it to music, it's A-N-O-N. But I don't know of anybody that could give you a better expository ministry on this. And I'm just going to read it, and you won't have to even look at it. A certain man of whom we read, who lived in days of old, though he were rich, he felt his need of something more than gold. It happened on a certain day, this little man was told, that Jesus soon would pass that way with something more than gold. Zacchaeus was not tall, and he, in order to behold, made haste to go to a sycamore tree for something more than gold. But Jesus stood beneath the tree and said, "On me behold, Zacchaeus, come down. I brought thee something more than gold." So he obeyed, and soon he found the half had not been told. Where love and joy and peace abound, 'tis better far than gold. Oh, yes, my friend, there's something more. There's something more than gold. To know your sins are all forgiven is something more than gold. Some of us have proved this for many, many years, and we wonder why the Lord still leaves us here, why he doesn't take us to heaven. But he just seems to not want us up there as yet. And he says, "You stay down here. I'd love to go right now. I don't want you to shoot me. But I would love to go at this very moment and to be in the rapture. I love a little enthusiasm, you know. And I believe it'll be enthusiasm, and I believe it will be bathed in truth when Jesus comes, because he's the way, the truth, and the life." But just look at this first rich man in the 12th chapter. He's a rich farmer. I don't know if he was a brethren in Christ or not, but so many of our brethren in Christ, boy, they are real good farmers, very industrious. And they mustn't have gone through a drought or a drought. My wife says it isn't drought. They must not have gone through a drought because his, oh my, how his land really produced. And he must have had sunshine and rain, fruitful seasons, and his heart was filled with gladness. But he didn't seem to be searching for something that was more than gold for what he was producing and realizing from it. And he went to bed one night, and I don't know where he had put all these crops. Maybe they were still in the field and not harvested. But there was a knock on the door, and I believe it was really on his heart's door, because as he was laying there, he was talking to himself, and he was saying, "What will I do with all of this goods? I'll know what I'll do. I'll tear down these little barns, and I'll build bigger barns, and I'll restore all of these goods. And I'll have much goods laid up for many years." It was something like we fellows that used to work in the industrial plant. We wanted to lay up much goods for many years. And we wanted this and we wanted that. And we were taking up more for the much goods for the many years that would follow, and maybe not taking up with something that is more than gold. And the Lord had to say to that dear man, whom he had shown so much mercy, and I could say grace and prosperity, he had to say to that man, "Thou fool, this day is thy soul required of thee." And the Lord Jesus there explains how profitable and valuable your soul is, along with that rich man. It's more valuable than the whole world. And he asked the question, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Or what would it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Well, then you have another rich man in the 16th chapter. And it says, he too was a rich man, and he had an unjust steward that wasted possibly his goods. And he was ready to fire him, told him he was going to discharge him. And this fellow did look a little bit to the future, because what he started to do, because he was in the authority of the rich man's goods, those who owed him $1,000, he made it 500. And maybe if someone owed him $500, he made it $250. And you say, oh, that was unjust. He wouldn't get any good out of that. He ought to be put to jail. But, you know, it so happened that he was commended in a measure. Not for what he was doing with the money, but he was looking for the future. And he thought, well, when I am discharged from the rich man, these creditors will possibly throw their arms around me and give me a job and supply my need. And I would like to say to you, even though you might go about it in not altogether a straightforward way, it's best if you do, but I want to say this, you ought to look to the future. Because your life is nothing but a bubble. It's just like that steam that comes out of the tea kettle spout. You see it for a moment, and then it disappears, and it's gone. That's how short your life is. And the older you get, the more you're going to realize how short it is. I can remember saying to Dad, Dad would say, oh, life is just so short. I said, Dad, you've been living here for 70 years. And I said, there's no more than 30 days in a month. And 365 in a year. What do you mean by this shortness? Of course, I was young and vigorous, you know, and so on. But now I'm saying the same thing. I was just born here the other day over in 1 hour. I can hardly believe it. And it's getting shorter all the time. And I tell you, if I didn't have any look for the future, I'd be the most miserable old man around Greenwood Hills you ever saw. Oh, it's not that I didn't have prosperity during the 75 or 80 years. I'm not moaning or complaining one bit about that. But it's just like a bubble. It's blowing up. And what value is it? And to think that here's the soul that's more valuable in the whole world. Is it any wonder I walk around Greenwood with my shoulders back? Huh? Is it any wonder that I tell people of the gospel when I know something of its power? The power of God unto salvation to all that believes. Then you can't help but think of that rich man in hell. That's in Luke 16, too. He's in hell. And he's lifting up his eyes in torment because he didn't look to the future and because he laid up treasures on earth where the moth gets in and the thieves break through and steal. And his whole heart was laid on what he had, faring sumptuously every day. Oh, he would permit a beggar out at the gate and give him a few crumbs like he might a sparrow. He did permit that. And he died and he was buried. And in hell, we read those words. And all of his senses were active, so active in hell. He could taste. He could smell. He could hear. He could remember. And he thought of his brethren back here in the world that possibly wasn't thinking anything of the future. Go tell them. Go tell them. And what were the words that he received? They've got Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And I can go a step further and say, not only Moses and the prophets, but we've got the New Testament. We've got the New Testament to testify to these things. And oh, if you're here, maybe you have a brother in hell at this moment. I don't know. But if you're here, hear the Bible, hear the scriptures. God has exalted him above his name. All hell cannot destroy the word of God. And to think you and I are privileged to hold it in our hands. That rich man is sweltering in hell at this very moment. It's forever and forever. I don't say these things with a smile, because I am conscious of the fact of the awful suffering that is eternal and forever. But oh, what joy, what delight there is in knowing your sins forgiven. And isn't it a blessed thing? Happy is the man whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And I can go a little further than that. Mine are not only covered, they're put away. As far as the east is from the west. And I have been presented to God in righteousness. Righteousness. Oh, I know there's love too. But I want to go there. I want justice. Justice to be forced and to be realized and to be paid. And I want righteous ground to stand upon. Oh, isn't it a wonderful thing to have on the best robe of the Father's house? A robe of righteousness with not one strand of my own making. It was woven at Calvary by the Lord Jesus, and not a stitch is left out, not a bad patch in it. It's a new garment. And oh, I can't help but say this. I wish I could sing it. There's a new name written down in glory. Yes, it's mine. I know it's mine. Oh, these rich men that are brought before us. And of course you had that rich young ruler, that nice young man. That's in the just before we get into Zacchaeus. And when you think of that young rich man, and he could say how he was keeping the law, and what he was doing in connection with law keeping. And the Lord Jesus saw very clearly down into his heart, and you remember the story, that the Lord Jesus saw that he didn't have his priorities straight, that he loved his silver and his gold more than the Lord himself. And the Lord says to him, sell what you have. If you love me more than silver or gold, sell what you have and give it to the poor. And everything will be all right with you. And what did that poor fella do? Even though he was young, vigorous, filled with vitality, he went away sorrowful because of things. Oh, if things were light, even that money could buy, the rich man would have it and the poor he could die. God in his mercy has ordered it so that the rich and the poor together must go. Well, you say that's a terrific long introduction. But I want to get now to another rich man, and it tells you very clearly in verse 2 that he was rich. I like the name Zacchaeus. I don't believe I ever heard anybody tell what the meaning of the name is. And I looked it up, and I could hardly believe it, that Zacchaeus means pure. Now, somebody's saying you're going to get in Dutch here before you get out of this portion. But it means pure. And I can see to a great measure that Zacchaeus was pure in this way, that he seemed to be like this, straight up and down. He seemed to be a man that had a conscience, and an active conscience. And I'll get to that in a minute if I don't keep you too long. And I can see in a measure that he was true to his name, and yet there was something needed. He needed something more. I know nobody likes a tax collector. Do you like a tax collector? Well, the one over here did give us his pond, if you remember, to put the canoes in, and I liked him for that. But outside of that, I didn't have too much for the tax collector. And these publicans, they would farm their job. They would buy it from the Roman government, and they were Jews. And they would buy it and then maybe farm it out to a half a dozen others. And they not only got the fee that was promised them from the Roman government, but all that they could overcharge you, that was premium down in their pockets. Some of them were that way. But I wouldn't say Zacchaeus was that way at all. I wouldn't say that he was that way at all, if you read these verses as they're written. But he wanted something more than gold. And his hindrance was that he was little in stature. That seemed to be the hindrance of seeing the Lord Jesus, because the crowds were rather heavy, and even before time, due to his little stature, I can see, I'm going to put this on him if you don't mind, a big belly, because he seemed to like food. I can see that little man running, you know, down and getting up in this sycamore tree. I had been there and visited this town, and I can see it in my mind, and I can see him running down there and getting up in that sycamore tree, and a lot of leaves on the trees, and that little fat man was hid up there, but he was going to look down and see Jesus. And he was all set. I might say this in connection with a tree. If you're a little man, there's a tree for you. There's a tree for every little man. The Lord Jesus bare my sins in his own body on a tree. And that tree is not only for you and me, as we were hearing this morning from our dear brother, but salvation is the heart of God for the whole world, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. And I believe through Zacchaeus being little, he got into a good place rather quickly. And while he was looking to see Jesus, Jesus was looking to see him. What? And even though he was hid amongst the leaves, what did the Lord Jesus say to him? Come. Come down. He says, come. And when Jesus came to the place in verse 5, he looked up and said, saw him and said unto Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. And have you come down yet? It's a blessed thing. It's a blessed thing to come down from your hiding place. And if you're trying to hide in the cross by putting one around your neck, you won't get too much blessing from that. It's the cross, the tree. In fact, it's often spoken of as the Roman gallows. That's where Jesus died. An outcast on that cross. And it's there that you must hide yourself. Oh, it's a blessed thing when one hides himself in the tree that God has provided, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says to him, I must abide in thy house. If I were to say that to you today, you would say, what in the world, what kind of a fellow is Charlie Martin inviting himself to my house? But oh, Jesus is Lord of all. And he's not just saying, would you invite me to your house? He says, today I'm coming to your house. And he wasn't there very long until he was not just the invited guest, but he was the host. Oh, he becomes the host in our lives, and he takes over. And what a blessing this is. And now I want to, the accusers, they seemed to follow him wherever he went, his accusers. And what did they say in verse 7? When they saw it, they murmured that he had gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Now, this is the verse that I wanted to emphasize to you in connection with Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus stood. I love that. He stood, and he said unto the Lord. He wasn't too concerned about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, his enemies. He wasn't too concerned about them. But he said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor." My, wasn't that wonderful? I don't know of another tax collector who ever did anything like that, huh? "The half of my goods I give to the poor," not "I will give," I give to the poor. This is what I do. "And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." I claim that he was far better than his accusers. Far better than his accusers. His accusers were like whited sepulchers. You know what a whited sepulcher is? Go out to the cemetery. Some people don't like to go. But it's a kind of a house. And they're generally white. And they look nice. They're pretty. But what's inside of them? Dead men's bones. Rotten. And that was what was inside of his accusers. When you and I throw out our finger, Mr. Landis used to say, like this, accusing somebody, remember there's four pointing back at you. And that was so with the Pharisees. Whited sepulchers, full of dead man's bones, rottenness. But look at Zacchaeus. What he practiced. And yet, with it all, he wanted and needed something more than gold. I can't help but think of 1 Corinthians 13. "Though I give my body to be burned, and bestow all my goods to the poor, and have not Christ, I have nothing." And Zacchaeus came to that place where he wanted something, needed something more than gold. And this commendable man, and maybe you're here this morning, a commendable man or woman, you need something more than you got. Something more than gold. And here is the key verse to the Gospel of Luke, and I hope that we all learn it. "For the Son of Man," first of all, Zacchaeus is the son of Abraham. Well, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. That shows that if he was the son of Abraham, the Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You say you're the sons of Abraham, the seed of Abraham, but you are of your father the devil. And the works of the devil ye will do." But not so with Zacchaeus. He believed God. And oh, this verse, the last verse, "The Son of Man, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Here you have, very clearly in this text, 16 monosyllables or 16 words that are just one word, and the biggest word has 5 letters. But I believe that it takes in the whole Gospel of Luke, and I believe it takes in God's salvation from beginning to end. When you speak of the Son of Man, he's representative man. I know a dear sister and a Bible student just last week, she confronted me a little bit with this. She said, "Oh no, he's the seed of woman. He's not the Son of Man, he's the seed of woman." Oh, yes, I said, he's the seed of woman, all right, because it was just supposed he was the seed of Joseph. That word supposed is written in the Gospel of Luke. It was just supposed he was that. But if you look his genealogy up, it starts with Joseph and goes all the way back to Adam. There he is in Luke, the Son of Man. And last words, there is Son of God. Oh, he's Son of Man from beginning to end. And he's the all-inclusive Savior. And God himself is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave us life, a ransom for us all. Oh, all may claim him. All may have him. He didn't come to clean up politics like we're trying to. He didn't come for that. And he didn't come to banish poverty. He even said, the poor you'll have with you always. He didn't come to paint rotten wood white. But he came to seek. And not only to seek. He wouldn't have had to do much seeking if it had just sought. But he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Is there one here this morning who will go out that door without the Savior? If you do, his blood is upon you. And you'll go out lost. Oh, come to the Savior today. Come now and no longer delay. He died on the tree for a sinner like thee. In love upon dark Calvary, his precious blood cleanses from sin. Open the door. Let him in. He'll save you and keep you forever. All glory to his blessed name. Let us pray. Our God, we hear thee say to us, he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. We thank thee for entrusting us with it and help us to hold it fast. We thank thee for its power and its far-reaching effects. And we thank thee that salvation is reached through it. We're all naked and open before the eyes of thee with whom we have to do. Search out hearts and consciences, and may thy Spirit, with its divine attraction, lift up the Savior, and may there be some souls saved here in the chapel this morning, for we pray in our Savior's name. Amen.